Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
It's time for a brand new week of Drive Time Sports. You're on 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Always happy to be back with you, and we're somewhat back to a regularly scheduled week. I mean, the last 2 weeks with basketball throughout the entire day, Thursday and Friday shows have been a little bit tipsy and twervy. This week, we're actually going to go out live on location. Friday, we're going to be at Las Vegas Motor Speedway. We got a great show lined up for you Friday, live on location. I'm looking forward to that. But the next 4 days, they're going to be business as usual. And on today's show, it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to talk to Coach Sean Alton of the Emory Spartan baseball team. Emory and Carbon open up the baseball season tomorrow. Emory will take on North St. Pete, and we'll talk a bit about that, what it's like going into your season, first year as a head coach. Sean Alton will give us the rundown on that. Also on the show today, I want to talk WWE. Now, I want to make this perfectly clear right now. I have nothing against the WWE. Nothing. I just don't believe it's a sport. And last night, I kicked my feet up. Nice, relaxing evening. I'm going to watch some SportsCenter. It's something that I just don't typically do at night. Typically don't have the time to do it. But last night, I did. So I kicked my feet up. I grab a soda. I lean back. I turn on the TV. And it's like 10 o'clock at night by this point. There's actually breaking news that Bill Goldberg is the WWE Universal Champion. Whatever that means, I have no idea because I don't watch it. And I'm thinking, you have got to be kidding me. And then a graphic pops up that's talking about the length of time between championship reigns for Goldberg. It's been like 3,000 and something days. That is way more information than I think anyone watching ESPN or SportsCenter needs to know. Blows my mind. So today I start researching this. Every national sports outlet is reporting in some capacity on WWE. And I get it. Look, I grew up around it. I grew up in the golden age of the WWF when Hulk Hogan, Hulkamania was everywhere. You know, kids were painting their face like the Ultimate Warrior. Kids were walking around talking like Macho Man. I was a fan of it. I'm not going to sit here and say I wasn't. And yes, for a very brief moment, I thought it was real. Just as I'm sure most kids did. But I grew out of that phase. It's not a sport. I'm not saying that the wrestlers aren't athletes. I'm saying wrestling, WWE wrestling, is not a sport. It's being perceived as a sport, and there's actually reporting going on it. We got a great friend of the show, EJ Christian. He's on the radio out in Florida. Loves it. Loves WWF wrestling. We're going to talk about this today. Is it a sport? It's not. Sports entertainment for a reason. It cannot be considered a sport if the outcome is predetermined. That doesn't mean that those participating in it aren't athletes. We've had several WWE wrestlers on the show, and I've always been respectful to them. And the reason I've invited them on the show is because I know I have listeners out there that like it. However, with that being said, never in my mind have I ever thought that WWE wrestling was an actual sport. Let's move over, take a look at the national sports headlines, and we'll begin in the NBA. Things are really starting to get interesting in the Western Conference. Now, the Warriors finally were able to right the ship in the second half last night. They picked up a victory. They are now 51-11, 2.5 games up on the San Antonio Spurs for the number one spot in the Western Conference. They beat the Knicks 112-105. They shake a two-game losing skid, and a reasonable question can be asked. If you're a Golden State Warriors fan, should you be worried right now? The answer to that is yes. You should absolutely be worried about where this team is sitting. They've won 7 out of their last 10. I get it, 51-11. Why should they be worried? Because when they decided to acquire Kevin Durant, which, by the way, was absolutely the right move, They had to give something up to get him. I know they signed him via free agent, but they had to give something up to get him, and that was the bench. They don't have a lot of bench production. And because of that, the Warriors are going into the final 20 games of the season, A, without Kevin Durant, and B, without a bench. And that is a legitimate problem. Meanwhile, you have the San Antonio Spurs, who are doing the most San Antonio Spurs thing that they could possibly do. That's lie in the weeds until we get down to the final 20 games of the season. They've now won 9 out of 10, 7 in a row. They're 48-13, 2.5 games back of Golden State. How important will home court advantage be in the playoffs? Very. Because odds are it's going to be Golden State and San Antonio when we get down to the final two teams in the Western Conference. And if I'm a Warriors fan, I'm a little bit worried right now. Kevin Durant has been the most efficient offensive weapon on this team all year. I know it's great to talk about Steph Curry. He's fun. He's entertaining. Everybody loves to watch him put up 30-footers. I get it. Kevin Durant's the one that's shooting 54% on the year and averaging 25.3 points, which is the highest on the team. That's not Steph Curry. Oh, and by the way, Kevin Durant is a very good shot blocker. Probably, he's the best shot blocker on this team. He's averaging 25-8-4, and then you look at blocks per game. In wins, he's averaging close to 2 blocks per contest. Yeah, Kevin Durant was putting together a brilliant season for the Warriors before he went down. I would worry about it. Now, I don't think the Warriors can dip below the 2 spot, but just looking at their schedule, it's a very real possibility that San Antonio could continue to play at this level and eke out that number one seed. Remember, Golden State has to go to San Antonio on March 11th. There's one game, and then they have to go back to San Antonio on March 29th. So they have to play each other 2 more times, both of those on the road in San Antonio. Things are getting interesting. And I said at the beginning of the year, I said no one would touch Golden State barring injury. Well, injuries happen. And now Golden State is on the opposite end. Now, with that being said, the Utah Jazz picked up a big win last night. Huge win for the Jazz. Rudy Gobert, tip in at the buzzer. Love watching that play. He was in the right spot at the right time. He's a ball hawk. He's always around the rim. That's what makes this guy so special. We'll see if the Jazz can continue that. After picking up a 110-109 win against Sacramento tonight, they'll take on DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis. The Pelicans earned their first win since acquiring DeMarcus Cousins last night as they topped the Lakers in a game which the Lakers had a 14-0 run at the end of the contest to tie it. They just couldn't finish it off. So there's some good basketball in store tonight as we get ever so close to the NBA playoffs right around the corner. Let's take a look at the full slate of NBA games tonight. 5 o'clock hour, Milwaukee at Philadelphia. We get the Knicks at Orlando. Miami will travel to take on Cleveland, and then Golden State at Atlanta and Chicago at Detroit. All of those games in the 5 o'clock hour. 6 o'clock tonight, Brooklyn at Memphis. The Timberwolves will play host to Portland. We get Indiana on the road to take on Charlotte. That game actually on TNT. Tip-off for that one is set for 6 p.m. Houston on the road to take on San Antonio at 6:30. 7 o'clock tip-off tonight. Sacramento travels to the Pepsi Center to take on the Nuggets. The Jazz taking on the Pelicans. And again, David Locke and Ron Boone will bring you the play-by-play call on that one. Tip-off set at 7. Live pregame coverage will begin at 6:50. The nightcap, it's Boston at the Clippers. That game will be the second game of a doubleheader on TNT. We're going to break for just a moment. We'll give you a rundown on the local sports front when we return. And again, Coach Sean Alton is coming up on the show. We'll talk some Emory High School baseball. It's all straight ahead here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
There's no crying in baseball!
Prepare the water cooler that we may gather around it later and discuss the play ball!
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Holy cow!
Just about wrapped up the entire winter sports season, which means we got to start talking spring sports. We got some more local basketball in the coming days as we have 2 more wrap-up interviews. Talk USU Eastern basketball. Today, though, we are going to continue on the spring sports landscape, and we're going to talk baseball. The Emory Spartan baseball team, they have a new coach, Sean Alton. In fact, tomorrow they're going to open up the season with first-year head coach Sean Alton, and he is joining us over the telephone right now to talk a bit about the season opening game against North St. Pete, the offseason, and what lies ahead for the team. Coach, as always, I appreciate you making time for us. It's great to get you back on. It has been a while.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you having me on your show today.
Oh, definitely. Coach, it's your first season. I mean, it's upon us. I know it's kind of gone by in a hurry. What's it been like as far as the off season? What are some of the things that you've tried to implement as head coach?
It's been extremely busy. We have had a very good winter workout session, and I'm very pleased with what I've seen. As far as implementing, one of the things this year, Jordan, that's going to present a new challenge is the new pitching rules that the state of Utah has went to. So it's going to really force a challenge to coaches around the state on the pitching rules as far as how many pitches per game an individual is going to have. So that's one thing I've kind of implemented is the pitching and really focused on that over the offseason.
Yeah, it's definitely changing, I think, every classification. I mean, we were talking to Coach Cincinnatus about the same thing last week, and he says, you know, it's probably the biggest challenge for even some of the smaller schools. I know you're going up against other 2A schools, but still, I mean, this is something that could really affect the 2A and 1A classification, at least in my mind.
It is. Especially at these smaller schools where, you have one or two really good pitchers. Where it's really going to affect us is when it comes state tournament time. In years past, we've had pitchers that's had the 14 innings, per week rule, and so you're allowed to have, your ace, per se, for at least two games during the state tournament. And now it almost makes that to where you're only going to be able to use him, one time. So it's going to force a big challenge and really groom younger pitchers, so to say, to step up and get the job done.
As far as the schedule goes, I know this definitely complicates it even more. Coach, you guys play a lot of baseball in a very short period of time. I mean, it's March right now. You guys are basically going to cram the entire season in to the middle of May. I mean, so you guys don't have a lot of dead time once the season starts like it does tomorrow.
We don't, and I purposely put a lot of games in there, a lot of games that I believe that we can compete with and that we can get better from. A lot of those games, I scheduled a lot of the 2A schools that we would possibly see, and some of those that I believe that we can compete with and possibly, win. But then again, I want to set us up really for when it comes region time. I know last year, I think we only played four or five games before we had our first region game, and that's a little bit tough. And this year we'll have at least 10 or 11 games anyway under our belt before we play that first region game.
Yeah, your guys' first league game against Grand, right, on March 28th, I believe?
That is correct.
Yeah. Well, Coach, we'll start by talking about the team this year as well. As far as Emory baseball goes, I mean, we're talking about a very rich history program here. I mean, this team has had a lot of success over the past 5 years. You've been a part of that. I mean, it's not as if you're new to this program, but who are some of the kids that you've kind of coached up over the last few years that you expect to have a big impact on the team this year?
Well, Jordan, we have six starters that are returning from last year's squad, four of which are seniors, and I'm going to have to rely on those seniors. Those seniors that are out at the top are, Tel Gardner, Jordan Bletka, Ray Smielsen, and Logan Labrum, and those are the ones from last year's squad that I'm going to really have to rely on. And then we do have a sophomore and a junior that is returning off of last year's squad. And so, really, we're going to be a young team, and I'm looking forward to see what these younger kids can do to step up and help these seniors and take on that role.
You mentioned sophomore and the junior. I'm assuming this is Easton and Coda, two kids that have really played varsity since as early as they could, really.
Correct. And we did pick up one from we did pick up a couple seniors, one of which is Zach Jorgensen, and you know him well enough, being on our football team, being the quarterback, and we're going to rely on him in the outfield, and again, is one of our, one of our star pitchers that I think can get it done on the hill. He looks really, really good in the offseason, so.
I know that was a kid that a lot of people were trying to talk into playing baseball, especially with these new rules. You need another pitcher, and so that's where you guys are going to rely on Zach the most, is on the mound.
Absolutely. But, he plays a great defense as well in the outfield. But, Zach threw the ball well over the winter, and he looks really good. And, you know, we're extremely grateful to the coaching staff that he decided to come out this year and play for us.
Again, our guest right now is Coach Sean Alton of the Emory Sport and Baseball Team. Coach, we'll start by talking about this next game now here on the second part of this segment. Let's talk North St. Pete. That's tomorrow's game, I should say. What are some of the things that you're most anticipating in this game and some of the things that you're going to be looking at your team as far as maybe working out some of the kinks early on?
Sure. A couple things, Jordan. One of those, of course, is the pitching. I want to give, you know, our lead pitchers right now, 3 to 4 of them, I want to give them a couple innings work just to see how they look, especially going into this weekend's tournament. And the other thing that I'm really going to be really interested in is the situational hitting. When we have runners on base, I want to see what the kids do in certain situations to manufacture runs. And that's what we really have to focus on this year is how do we manufacture runs? And I'm really going to instill in these kids, you know, the aspects of situational hitting.
With the new pitching rule, how much of an emphasis is that put on offense? I know the saying is always defense wins championships. I don't know if that's necessarily the case anymore with pitching. I mean, you're going to have to score runs to win games.
That is true. And due to these pitching rules, you know, we're in the same boat as everybody else. And really, you're going to start, as a coach, we have to start managing pitching so that come offense time, you know, we're going to have to see other pitchers, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth pitchers, just like they're going to start seeing ours. And so really, there's going to be an emphasis on hitting and scoring runs and manufacturing when we get to see those fourth, fifth, and sixth pitchers from the other teams.
Coach, let's continue by talking about your guys' trip. Typically, it's a trip to Colorado, Montrose. You guys would go for a couple of days and play a few games. This year, you've switched things up a little bit on the schedule. You guys will actually travel to Mesquite. That'll be this weekend, as a matter of fact. You guys will go down there for 3 days. A little bit different compared to going down to Colorado because it's going to be nice weather, to say the least. Why make this change at this particular time with the schedule? Was there a big reason behind it?
No, not necessarily. The biggest reason, I guess, is when we went to Montrose, of course, the weather always played a factor. You never knew what we were going to see as far as weather, and we were only guaranteed 3 games. And it has come to my attention that really the Montrose tournament's kind of phased out with the way that they do their postseason play over in Colorado. And so I wanted to find something for our kids to get to better weather this time of year, to get down and play some ball in some 80-degree weather. And the biggest key here is that we picked up an additional game for that. So we get to go down and play not only 3 games, but we get to pick up 4 games.
It definitely does add to it just a little bit because, again, looking at the non-league schedule for you guys, and, I mean, it is definitely heavy. And, of course, Coach, everyone will be happy to know that, once again, Emory will be taking on Carbon. It's something we didn't get to see on the girls' basketball court. But an Emory season and a Carbon baseball season, the two have to meet at some point in time. It's kind of a tradition, and that game is going to be there this year.
It is. It's always been tradition. Jeff and I are really good friends, and I talk with him, and we wanted to continue the tradition, and I think it's, you know, great for our community to have the community come out and see what the boys can do and play and just have a good time.
Aside from the schedule and playing itself, Coach, there's always kind of a tradition, right, to have a youth clinic with a baseball team where the kids can get involved and you and Coach Renson can get involved with it, and that's coming back again this year. I have to let you mention that. It's coming up in April.
It is. We're going to host a youth clinic here on April 8th. It'll start at 10 in the morning, and it will be the first part of the day will be those ages that are 10 and younger. It'll be for both boys and girls. And then in the afternoon, we're going to do 11 and older for both the boys and the girls, and we're going to have our players there, and they're going to be in uniform, as well as us coaches, and we're going to just have fun with the kids. We're going to teach them, you know, the fundamentals of the game and all aspects and teach them, you know, what really, you know, how to have fun and how to play baseball.
So. Yeah, definitely going to be a great time. And again, you can get more information on that by visiting CastleCountryRadio.com. Coach, lastly, before I let you go, I do want to talk about the region in general. It's always a very competitive region. You guys get Grand, Monticello, San Juan, North Sevier, Gunnison. I mean, that's a tough, tough region front to back. How do you see it shaping out this year?
You know, Gunnison and Moab traditionally are really good. However, with the pitching rules, to be honest with you, Jordan, I think it's open statewide, and I believe it's open region-wide. Gunnison's going to be right there at the top just due to Drew Hill that's over there that's already signed with UVU. And they did pick up another kid out of Harriman that's a pitcher that's going to help them out. And, you know, Moab does have the Jones kid that's a very good pitcher as well. So I think, honestly, it's anyone's game in region. It's just going to come out to who peaks at what time and who's playing the best baseball. And I think that our baseball squad will be there, you know, be right there competing at the end as well.
And that's always the goal at the beginning of the season, right? A region crown?
Absolutely.
Well, Coach, it's always fun to talk with you. I look forward to having more conversations with you as the season continues on. Best of luck as you guys take the field tomorrow against North St. Pete, and hopefully I can catch up with you again next week.
Hey, thank you, Jordan. I appreciate your time.
As Coach Sean Alton of the Emory Sport and Baseball Squad taking out the time to join us again, we'll catch up with him again next week, and we'll recap the first week of the Emory Sport and Baseball season. We're going to break for just a moment. We have more Drive Time Sports coming up when we return here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM. We are back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL, 107.3 FM, 750 AM, and we're going to transition, we're going to change things up a little bit here on the show today. First off, I am flabbergasted by the fact that when I sit down on a Sunday night and I turn on my television and I want to watch something national sports-wise, or I turn to a national sports station, I see WWE being reported. And it's absolutely blown my mind. And I had this discussion with multiple people over the weekend. Look, wrestling, it's not real. It's not a sport. It's scripted. Yet for some reason, people follow it as if it is really a sport. And it's blowing my mind at this particular time. So I had to reach out. We got a great friend of the show joining us right now, EJ Christian. He is of the Earnestly Speaking podcast. You can check that out at earnestlyspeaking.net. He has me on his podcast from time to time. We talk a wide variety of things, not just sports. But today, yeah, I figured let's dedicate a segment to the WWE. Why not? EJ, first off, I appreciate you making time for us today. Thank you.
Hey, Jordan. And first off, I still recognize it as the WWF. Sorry. I'm old school nostalgic. I will never let go of the Federation, baby.
Right. Well, hey, I'm with you. If we have to talk about it, let's go out to WWF. But with that being said, I mean, tell me, am I wrong? I say this is not a sport. I don't believe that we should be reporting on this event or these events because, again, it's scripted. It's no different than a movie. I'm not neglecting. I'm in no way, shape, or form saying that these wrestlers are not athletes. Okay, I know that they are. They're amazing. What they do and what they put their bodies through, it's incredible. So I'm not saying that a wrestler is not an athlete. I'm simply saying it's not a sport. Tell me I'm right or wrong here.
You're not wrong. It's not a sport. It's sports entertainment. I mean, the entertainment angle comes from the scripts. It is a derivative of sports. You know, there is athletics involved in it, you know, but to call it a tried and true sport is insulting to the actual sport of wrestling that actually is real. The wrestling is a sport, not WWE wrestling. You know, so you're not wrong there at all. You know, it's just, you know, I get why the frustration is for you, especially because you and I are pretty similar in the way we think. We looked at this stuff as more of a kind of a made for TV kind of thing, more like a reality TV. Reality TV without the real, you know, but it's still scripted, you know, and sports is kind of its own thing. Like, you don't know the result. No one knows the result of sports, you know, unless it's actually a cheese handle involved, which is very, 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 very thin. You know, I think it's almost insulting to the real sport of wrestling, which is actually a sport, to compare that to WWE at all.
I am in a total agreement with you. And again, when you talk about some of these wrestlers, and I understand the nostalgia aspect of it. Don't get me wrong. Everyone my age grew up, again, in the golden age of the WWF, where you had a favorite wrestler. Hulkamania was what was huge. I mean, you grew up idolizing the Ultimate Warrior and Macho Man. But at some point in time, you had to face the facts. It's not real. And that's where my frustration lies. I mean, I really had to sit there last night and watch a statistic pop up that Goldberg was 3,500 days or something in between title defenses or title reigns. Who cares? I mean, honestly, if the WWE, if they wanted to, they could plug me in there tomorrow, EJ, and I could be the champion tomorrow. I mean, it's that simple.
I think the issue is not so much that does matter if we're talking about within the ecosystem of the WWF, or WWE, whatever you call it, if it's within that ecosystem. But if you're talking about like announcing that kind of stuff on actual sports platforms like, say, ESPN, Fox Sports, you know, any maybe. I might even Bleach Report. I feel it pass because Bleach Report caters to everything, not just sports, but also everything else. They cater to a lot of stuff outside of sports genre a little bit, you know, and then even that'll get passed on. But to have that as, like, part of the injury reports or the, you know, the box scores of a game, and then you have, like, in a ticker and saying, you know, Goldberg streak, like Undertaker streak, or something like that, it doesn't make sense. And it's not to say that the WWE is bad. I am a old school fan. I still watch the old school stuff. I even own the WWE Network, and I have a paraphernalia of DVDs and VHS tapes from years past that I still watch on a regular basis. But you have to separate sports, which is sports, and WWE. There is no comparison, really. I mean, one is real, one is scripted, period. And that's a knock WWE, but each thing has its place, and people need to understand that.
No, I agree 100%. Again, our guest right now is EJ Christian of the Earnestly Speaking podcast. We are talking about WWE and if it has a place with mainstream sports today, and the simple answer is no, it does not. Now, you mentioned the nostalgia and the guys that you grew up on. I mean, you're an old-school WWF fan, but it seems like you have a grip on reality. It's as if you can sit here and look at this from a realistic standpoint, and I'll be honest with you, the best part of any WWF event, now looking back on it as an adult, I understand why my father hated it so bad, because it is quite ridiculous. The best part is A, the promos, and B, the entrances. Everything that's in between, meh, okay, if you have to, I guess. If it sparks that little brain to when you collected baseball cards and when, you know, you thought these guys were really punching each other, okay, if you must. But am I wrong? That's the two most exciting aspects of any WWF event, the promo and the entrance.
I mean, also the third thing, Which honestly, it's kind of harder to do today in social media today. But the storylines, which is what I love about it most. Like, and this is why I can't watch it today, because of the fact that, okay, years ago you had everything spaced out. There wasn't cable TV was still pretty, you know, new. You know, all these other sources and stuff. You know, whereas now with social media, you can find out things like within a minute. The suspense of it all is taken away today, which is why you have a hard time watching wrestling today. You know, back then, you can take a storyline like Andre the Giant and Hulk Hogan for two and a half years, space it out, and even though it was fake, there was still a lot of suspense in there. Like, when Hogan and Andre had a rematch a year after WrestleMania 3, no one thought Hogan lose that match. Nobody thought Hogan lose that match. You know, because there wasn't all this stuff in your face that, you know, these... Kind of like how we look at, you know, like fantasy sports for, like, you know, things with rumors and all that stuff. And we didn't have that back in the late 80s. You know, it was television. It was like TV. So the suspense and the storylines kind of made it more watchable back then for me anyway. Today, I can't watch today just because of the fact that, you know, there's too much of it. You know, there's too many pay-per-views. As I've been saying, knocking for years now. I think the less pay-per-views, the better. And there's too much in the know between events that, it's almost like you can predict who's going to be the winner of each event going forward. And that's why I can't watch it now. And I can see why the frustration, like what you say, your dad couldn't stand it back then.
He hated it.
I can't stand it, but I can see the frustration part on his end.
I'll tell you, I can't stand it because it's so unbelievable. You expect me to believe that a 50-year-old man is your champion. I mean, that is insane. So here's my question for you, and I've always wondered this, and you still somewhat follow it, and again, this is going back to the Golden Age. Why is it that we have so many wrestlers today that are bitter? I mean, we've had Jake the Snake Roberts on the show. We've had a couple of wrestlers join us here on the show, and it's fascinating to hear their story. But every one of them seemed to be upset that they had to drop the belt and to who they had to drop it to. Does it not register in these guys' minds that what they're doing is fake and that they're an employee of a company, they're an employee of a script writer? Does that not... I've never understood that aspect of it either.
I think because there's an actual brand involved too. Like with Hogan, it helped his brand being a champion because he became an icon outside of the sport. When you have that brand of being a champion, you're the face of the franchise, or face of the association, in that case, the federation, you are a lot of more opportunities outside the sport. You know what I'm saying? I think that's what it is. And I think when people don't get the opportunity to be the head honcho, one of the head honchos of the federation, it kind of sort of takes away from what they could do in the future. You know, for the mainstream person may not watch wrestling, but if they know Hulk Hogan or know Macho Man Randy Savage or know Ultimate Warrior, they may be apt to at least seeing what they may do outside the sport should they get the opportunity to do it. I think that's the difference really more than anything else. I mean, I've heard stories about honky-tonk men, you know, being pissed off. He had a title, the Intercontinental title, the Macho Man Randy Savage in 88 because of, you know, he just wanted to have the title. But I understand why he won the title because it helped his brand moving forward.
I got to ask you about the Undertaker streak because this is one of the things that bugged me for so long in sports. And again, we've talked about some of the national outlets, ESPN, Fox Sports. They would actually run a picture or they'd run a graphic that would list the Undertaker's WrestleMania streak in the same category as UCLA basketball streak or the Los Angeles Lakers 33-game winning streak. Is that not offensive? Should athletes today take offense?
I don't know, because like a part of me thinks that it's also tongue-in-cheek too, so in some way. I think most people with common sense would tell you that would know the wrestling's fake, and therefore they would look at it as a tongue-in-cheek thing. So me personally, I wouldn't be offended by that as a guy who absolutely loves sports across the board. You know, but also, I appreciate WWF, WWE, whatever you call it, from the pomp and circumstance of it all. You know, I can separate the two. Now, not many people could do that. So I don't know if I take offense to it. Is it bothersome? Maybe a little bit, but I look at it more as tongue-in-cheek type of thing.
That's a good way to look at it. I get exactly what you're saying. I just can't watch this stuff. I can't relate to it today. I could relate to it when I was a 10-year-old kid, and maybe that's the problem right that I'm having with it. I mean, I can no longer relate to these characters. It is a male soap opera. And again, for those listening, I want to make sure that I'm perfectly clear. I understand that these guys are athletes in what they do, but to me, it's no different than a Cirque du Soleil performance. I go watch Cirque du Soleil. Those guys are athletes, but it's not, you know, you can't consider that a sport because they're working through a script.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you 100%. And I think, if you keep both those things in their place, if you keep wrestling in the place that it should be, there wouldn't be a problem. I think what becomes the issue becomes the confusion is more when you start bridging one or two of those things in the same world. Then you start having the issue of, the issue of, oh, well, sport, not a sport. Look, it's sports entertainment because there is a sport to the art. You know, it is a sport to some degree, but most of it, the whole thing is scripted. Like, they know what's going to happen at the end of the road. So there is, you know, while there are athletes, it's not real. It's not unpredictable. It is predictable because somebody wrote a script towards the end of a match or how it's going to end. So once you separate the two worlds, then I think you can appreciate the two worlds for what it is.
That's great. I think you hit it right on the head. This is why I needed to bring in somebody that was neutral in regard, because I can't look at it from that point of view. I see this on TV being mentioned, you know, before we go into a Keith Thurman and a Danny Garcia fighter, before we talk about the Cleveland Cavaliers going toe-to-toe with the Atlanta Hawks, and I shake my head. I can't wrap my head around it. So I know we got a lot of wrestling fans listening. Just to toss them a bone, your top five wrestlers of all time, how do you rank them?
Top five, favorite five? I think my favorite is Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan and The Rock and Macho Man Randy Savage are my top three right there off the bat. I actually own three Macho Man shirts. So there you go. So Savage, The Rock, and Hogan, my top three. I'll put a bullet. I would say Stone Cold Steve Austin also, too. I think, you know, just the whole aura of what he presented, and especially out the ring, too, you have to respect him. Number five is hard, man. I would probably still like lean Shawn Michaels, because as an entertainer, I mean, and especially in the era when WWF was trying to rebuild after losing Hogan for a number of years, the fact that he helped carry the next generation for a good while and doing it and being a really tough guy while doing it too. I wasn't a Shawn Michaels fan in terms of, you know, like I wouldn't cheer for him on that, but in hindsight, seeing him and knowing what he put, the grind he put into making that sport what it is today, you know, you have to respect that. So I push on Michael's my top five.
EJ, I really appreciate you taking out the time to come on and talk WWE, because Lord knows I didn't want to do it. So I appreciate you coming on to talk a bit about it.
Fun.
Yeah, it's fun. It is.
For the record, UFC is a sport. That's a sport.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, UFC is a sport.
You know, we don't know the result at the end. We don't know round and round if they're going to lose this fight or vice versa. So that's a sport. Big difference.
EJ, before I let you go, let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
The podcast, iTunes, the radio, Earnestly Speaking Podcast. You can find my new blog, news site, which is updated daily now, at earnestlyspeaking.net. I think that's it, really, for the most part, yeah.
EJ, always a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you again, my friend, for taking out the time to join us and talk something a little bit out of the norm rather than the typical basketball, football, baseball talk. I appreciate it.
Nothing wrong with being right now in the dog days, man. Nothing wrong with that.
No, nothing at all. Nothing at all. Hey, we've got a break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up right after this. Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. The local basketball season came to a close this past weekend as both the USU Eastern men and women's squads suffered losses in the conference tournament semifinal at Salt Lake Community College Friday evening. After topping Colorado Northwestern on Thursday, the USU Eastern men's squad fell to Snow College 86-63 in the semifinals. The loss dipped USU Eastern to 1-4 on the season against Snow. In the setback, USU Eastern was led by Chris Totoris. The freshman scored 23 points and knocked down 5 of 5 attempts from downtown. Milan Cerlik chipped in 11 points off the bench, and Roman McKnight scored 8 in his final contest in a USU Eastern uniform. Snow College was led by Zach Hunsaker, the conference player of the year. He delivered a team-high 21 points, while Blake Truman finished with 20 and A.J. Jones scored 14. Snow College, who was the number one team throughout the Scenic West Athletic Conference throughout the year, suffered a loss in the championship game the following day to the College of Southern Idaho. The USU Eastern women's squad suffered a similar fate. They fell to the Salt Lake Community College women's squad by a final score of 66-47. Salt Lake jumped out to an early 20-8 lead in the first quarter, and they never looked back as they earned their fourth victory of the year in 5 tries over the Lady Eagles. In the setback, USU Eastern was led by Autumn Kay. She scored 12 points, and Madison Loftus scored 8, connecting on just 1 of 6 attempts. Loftus was the leading scorer throughout the season for USU Eastern, but Salt Lake did a terrific job of limiting her touches throughout the contest. Leading the way for Salt Lake was Annie Brady. She scored just 7 points per contest throughout the year, but managed to score 21 in the semifinals. Tia Hay chipped in with 13. Salt Lake finished off an incredible season as they topped Snow College by 27 points the following day in the conference championship game. Congratulations to both USU Eastern squads on a very successful 2016-2017 season. We will catch up with both Coach Vando and Coach Chelsea Warburton in the coming days to recap the year. We move over to high school sports, and there will be a youth baseball camp on April 8th put on by the Emory High School baseball team. Ages 10 and under will perform from 10 to 12. Ages 11 and older will go from 1 to 3. The cost for the camp is $30 per child. If there is a second child in the family, the cost will be $20. Registration for both age groups will begin 1 hour prior to start time. The camp will include fundamental instruction from both coaches on the Emory High School baseball team and players. All participants will also receive a T-shirt. For more information, please contact head coach Sean Alton. Coach Alton will actually be a guest today on KOAL's Drive Time Sports as we preview the upcoming baseball season, which will begin for Emory High School tomorrow. And we move over to the national sports scene, where tonight the Utah Jazz will make their return to KOAL 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM as they play host to Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins, and the New Orleans Pelicans. The Jazz are going to look for another victory. Could be their third consecutive. They topped the Sacramento Kings yesterday 112-109 as Rudy Gobert had a game-winning tip-in as time expired. Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
Hey, what's going on? This is Ron Artest, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan. Listen, you must... say it again? Buscarini? All right. Jordan Buscarini. All right. With Jordan Buscarini. Shout out to Queens, where you're right now.
Back here for the final segment of the day on Drive Time Sports. NFL free agency is about to hit this weekend, and things are going to get crazy. It's that free agent frenzy. I love this time of the year because free agency really has a huge impact on the NFL draft. And, of course, we bring you live coverage every year here with the NFL draft. And the individual player that made the most noise over the weekend was John Ross, wide receiver out of Washington. Everybody knows now that he shattered Chris Johnson's combine record. He ran a 4.22 40. Even more impressive was that he pulled up at the end because he had a cramp, meaning he probably could have ran a 4.19, 4.18. That was the only downside, as well as the fact that he didn't get the island, that bogus promotion that Adidas ran last week that we didn't talk about here on the show. They said if anyone breaks Chris Johnson's combine record, they would give him an island. In the fine print, you had to be wearing a special Adidas shoe. You had to commit to signing with Adidas prior to the NFL draft for at least a year. And Adidas could switch out. Instead of giving you an island, they could give you $1 million. But it was all for naught because Ross wasn't wearing Adidas. He was wearing Nike, but he ran a 4.22 40. I mean, that is speed. Insane to think about. As far as the mock draft goes, I mean, once the combine actually comes, you get a little bit better perspective on how things are shaping up. I mean, I put together my own mock draft throughout the entire year. I'm kind of a geek like that when it comes to college football. I absolutely love it. And the biggest question I think that everybody has is who's number one. I don't know if it's even much of a question anymore. I think everyone can anticipate Myles Garrett, the defensive end from Texas A&M, is probably going to go number one. And a lot of this all depends on what happens in free agency, which is what we'll be talking about on the show a little bit tomorrow. Always a pleasure to join you on the afternoon drive. Thank you once again. I will catch you tomorrow, same time, same place. Be safe. I am out.